Have you ever had the experience of being in the company of someone you know or thought you knew? Could be a friend, could be a family member, and they do something that you don't expect. Something that's downright strange. The scene of the gospel today in which Jesus receives this man who is deaf. And as a result of his deafness, he has the speech impediment. He's also mute. Some translations say dumb, not to say that it's not referring to intellect, being intellectually dumb as such, but it's the archaic way of saying, the ancient way of referring to someone who couldn't speak, a mute, as being dumb. In fact, if you've ever been to the baptisms of a child, you know that one of the blessings that takes place following the baptism, there's a blessing over the ears and the mouth, and the words are spoken as the blessing is being rendered. Over the ears, the Lord Jesus made the deaf hear and the dumb speak. May he soon touch your ears to hear his word, and your mouth to proclaim or profess his faith to the praise and glory of God the Father. So we recognize the actions of Jesus today as being quite frankly odd. Of all of the miracles recorded in the Gospels, this is probably the one that's strangest, and yet probably the most physical. Jesus takes this man away from the crowd. And that reveals the disposition of our God. Think about it. Had he stayed in the crowd, the people or somebody, or, you know, if somebody is deaf, truly deaf, can't hear a sound, what would happen? Somebody in the crowd would say, yeah, Jesus, this guy here, he's deaf. We want you to heal him. Talking, you know, loud like that. Guess what happens? The person who knows they're deaf, they feel so embarrassed. You know, they're putting them on the spot. It's bad enough they're having to deal with this condition that has alienated them from community life. Think about how your life would be and my life would be. Now, of course, today, there wasn't the invention of sign language then. You were totally in your own world, so to speak. So Jesus, with great compassion, takes him away and deals with him with great care and attention. Now, the way he chooses to deal with him, placing one finger in his ear, spitting on the other hand, putting his hand on his tongue, and raising up, and he groans. He groans. As the others, Ephatha, be opened. But the groaning, the fact that the Lord not only touches, but takes to himself the anguish of this man's soul. But in saying be opened, he's not just directing those words to this man who has his physical malady. He's speaking it to the disciples then and to the disciples now. Be opened to what? The word of God, which is in the flesh. And not only does he speak the word and realize what he wants to have happen, but it also confirms that our God, just as much as we desire not only to see him, we want to touch him. He wants to touch us too. And he takes this man, and we're told immediately his hearing is restored and he's able to speak plainly. If there's any speech pathologist in the midst, today, in fact, I was told at the other mass, this is a National Speech Pathologist Day. Those who work with people who have speech impediments and so forth. I said, well, then you know full well why it says in the gospel the people were exceedingly astonished. He has done all things well. He's made the deaf hear and the mute speak. Because this is miraculous beyond miraculous. To not ever having been given the ability to hear a spoken word, to have one's hearing restored and to be able to speak plainly, that doesn't happen. But it happened in this case. Because Jesus didn't just go about performing the mighty works of God to create a spectacle. It was an ushering in of the kingdom of God, the reign of God. It was also a means of restoration, restoring the original creation before the advent of sin. Yes, to bring about healing and wholeness of life. But it was also a confirmation of the words spoken some 800 years before the Messiah of God would make his appearance on the earth. Isaiah prophesying in the 35th chapter is what we heard the first reading is taken from. He's prophesying about the messianic age, a new exodus, all of which is realized. Jesus, in his own person, deliberately performs the action as he does to fulfill, to manifest, to reveal definitively the time of fulfillment is now. He realizes it in every detail. And so the people rightly sing praise to God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That's the singing. They're praising him, but they say hallelujah, which means praise the Lord. But more than this, yes, it confirms the messianic age. Yes, the realization of the new exodus. But thirdly, it reveals the divinity of the God-man, Jesus the Christ. So with all of this, what do we take away? Well, there is always the physical level of recognition of seeing what happens to this man. He's restored health-wise. But there's also the depth of the spirit that has to be discerned. How many of you enjoy watching the game show Jeopardy? It's amazing. Some of these people who are on there, the contestants, some of them are downright geniuses on almost every topic there is. But have you ever noticed, whenever the category is the Bible, and they read, Trebek reads the cue to them, he tells them what it is, nobody's pushing the button. Revealing what? We're living in a generation in which the vast majority of people, at least we can speak to the North American continent, are ignorant of the scripture. We don't know the word of God. I contend that Catholics know more of the Bible than they realize. We may not be able to quote chapters and verses, but from the beginning of the Mass to the end, everything we are speaking is flowing straight from the pages of the sacred scripture. All that we really need to do is make it a habit of attending to the word that we hear week in and week out. You can use the resource of the Word Among Us, the Magnificat, my parish app, whatever you have. You can look at the readings and begin to familiarize yourself with that word. And by doing so, what's happening? You're connecting. As Jesus reconnected this man, not only to the community, but to the Lord, he's also giving you and I a glimpse of what our role is as his mystical body. Because by being baptized, guess what? We all have become alter Christus. That's the Latin, other Christ. And we participate in the work of the Christ by doing the same thing he did. Now, we may not see something as astonishing as seeing somebody who's born deaf have their sight restored immediately or something like what we hear today. But we certainly have the ability of being the voice. Of being the voice for one who may not be able to speak for themselves. They may be deficient in speech. Or maybe they're not hearing the good news. And as a result, they're moping around there's no hope for them. You and I can become a voice that proclaims to them the gospel. Or, as you know, we are creatures of habit. You know, Jesus, we're told, went through the area of the Decapolis. That's the Greek for the region of the 10 cities, Deca, and Polis, the city. The city of the ten cities. He deliberately goes to that area because this that he comes to realize and proclaim is universal. It's for the whole world. We would like to say that we are a welcoming community. We try. I know that's one of the things I hear from people when I ask them how long they've been a member of OLPA. Oh, it's such a welcoming community. And yet, Last week, someone told me to say, Father, I hate to say this to you. I really enjoy the spirit of the liturgy and so forth. But I have to say, it's one of the most unwelcoming communities I've ever been in. I said, whoa. I was like, whoa, I almost fell out. He said, yeah. We hear St. James talking about somebody comes in dressed luxuriously. Maybe they're full of their whole demeanor speaks of fame and fortune. Well, we're going to look at that person and go, oh, wow, won't you please have a seat right here? Would you mind sitting right here? But then somebody comes in and you smell them before you see them. Dressing riff, like looking like riffraff, ragamuffin. We're like, man, what's going on with the ushers? Are they not doing their job? How did I let this guy in here? My God, get the potpourri. Somebody, where's the deodorizer? We don't want the person coming close to us. And yet St. James is saying, have no partiality. Because many of us, unawares, because we recognize that Jesus dwells in the hearts of every single human being created to the image and likeness of God, we have actually entertained angels in disguise. God giving us a test. You think you love me? You truly feel you love me as I love you? Here's a test. We need to be deliberate in the opportunities that are always abounding for us to reach out and touch people where they are at. And let God take care of the transformation that He alone can do. Jesus wants to restore us. He wants to heal us. But He wants us, more importantly, to have the wholeness of the life that animates the living God who has come to us in such a way that now, until the end of time, we can see Him, we can hear Him, we can smell Him, we can touch Him, yes, and we can consume Him in the Eucharist through the Word, through the sacrament. God love you.